co-host here, Lori T, and I are going to talk about episodes 58, The Masks of FOMO. Just a friendly reminder that anything discussed in this podcast is not to be used as a diagnosis or replacement for conversations with your own doctors, therapists, psychologists, or other medical professionals. I'm going to have to do a short introduction. If you don't know what FOMO stands for, it means fear of missing out. I also had to, there's a couple other new lingo terms I had to actually look up a couple years ago. So this was one I actually understood. I think it's something that we talk about a lot in chronic illnesses and just life in general. Oftentimes we're in those seasons where we might have to miss out on something, or we don't get to do something that we would like to do, or we see friends or family members doing things kind of off in the distance that, you know, we wish we could do, and there's something maybe holding us back. So we just want to talk a little bit about that, what it's looked like in our lives, how we've dealt with it or felt like we've, you know, had it, and then also how we've kind of combated that, as well as just kind of things to maybe help out with, you know, changing your mindset. I know we're all about mindfulness and thinking about other ways to talk or think about things. So it's kind of where we're at right now. Anybody want to start? Wow, crickets.
thinking, before we ever had acronyms for these things, I think as a young child, I think I definitely, the extroverted person that I am, the child constantly trying to gain a new experience and not miss a single moment of what was happening around me. I remember my mother saying to me often when, you know, when I was really young, "It's okay, Lori. The world will still be here after you wake up, after your nap," you know? And I was so afraid that it would all stop, or that I would miss out on whatever was happening, that I never wanted to close my eyes. I never wanted to miss a single second of it. And I think as life happens, right, we grow up and we're busy doing the things, and we kind of get a more narrow focus, and then we have families and we have jobs and we have, you know, things happen. And for me, I had chronic illness and I had facing of death. And I think I'm, okay, no, I definitely am not afraid anymore of missing out, but I definitely don't want to miss something that's intended for me, or that I should or could experience, that I want to. So I think there isn't really a fear associated with it anymore, but there's, I definitely have a new excitement about life, and I have a new way of looking at things, and I want to cherish each and every moment. So I think we can change. It can change over the years. And for me, it's definitely changed. In my youth, it was definitely a fear of missing out. And now it's kind of more honed. And we'll get to that in the second half. But definitely understand the fear of missing out.
Right. Like you, I think there was a lot when I was a kid, you know, I wanted to be involved in everything. And I know my parents shared as I got older that they regretted that they let me be involved in more adult things too soon, because they felt like I missed out on a childhood, which I don't feel like I ever did. I was constantly going out and hanging out with friends, and there was three or four friends that I had in the neighborhood. So I was constantly going out and doing things at their places or at my place. But I know that my parents, I think, wish that they hadn't let me be involved in some of the adult conversations a little sooner than they should have. I don't regret that. I know they do, but I don't. I think as I've gotten older, you know, my weight has definitely impacted sometimes the experiences I can have, but I've kind of always tried at least to do stuff. This past summer when Lori and I had gone to the Grand Canyon, I really struggled. It was something I wasn't like, oh yeah, I have to go to the Grand Canyon, I got to see this thing. Like, I wasn't excited for it, right? But I was trying to make the most of it. But then when I get there and I start walking around, I did not click that I had never been above the elevation of like 1,000 feet above sea level. So my body was not acclimated to the 7,500 feet above sea level that the Grand Canyon is at. So I really had a hard time breathing. So I unfortunately did not get to go walk and do as much as Lori did. She got to do a few more little walks and went a little further than I could go. But I still am grateful that I got to see it. And I didn't lose completely out on the experience. I just had to kind of change how I looked at it. So we'll talk a little bit more about that in the next segment. But there have been times, you know, when I was living across the state, Lori was with friends and family. I was like, oh man, I wish I could be over there. And money was always something that, you know, it's not cheap to drive 5 hours, or it used to not be. You know, I had an SUV that was not a hybrid at the time. So I was spending upwards of $100 to just travel across the state and back. So I really had to like save up and scrimp my pennies to make a trip. So I remember that one time we did get to surprise Lori, a couple of friends of ours and I decided to surprise her for her birthday, and we drove over and we all chipped in for gas and we got to go see her, and we were recording. I still have the video somewhere of it, but like, so we made the most of that time again. And I think there's things I wish I could do. And unfortunately for me, just the way my life has kind of gone, finances has usually been the biggest hindrance for me. But also, like we've talked like last season, but we talked a lot about our personalities. I'm an introvert. So there's actually like times where like people think I'm gonna be like upset or sad or fearful that I'm missing out, and I'm like happy as a clam that I get to. So there's that like happy balance for me, or what I think is a happy balance of when I'm missing out and when I'm really not.
T, you're on.
So I don't really have a fear of missing out, and I never really did, but sometimes I'll have after the fact, but like regret that I missed out. Especially now in today's age of social media, where we get to see the pictures of what everybody's doing. And it's like, well, then am I doing enough? Am I doing everything I want to do? And like EJ, I'm an introvert. So, and then I deal with social, I also have social anxiety. And so throughout the years, I was very content to stay at home. And then I'd hear the stories of what others were up to. Then it was like regret. It was like, oh, well, that might've been fun. But then also then I would try, and then I would be miserable and just want to escape the whole time. So there's a bit of that, but I also have had a lot of experiences that I did get to do throughout life. And it is fun to go, oh, I've been here, I've seen this. But, you know, the truth of the matter is it wasn't that great. It just turned out to be a story. So it wasn't like, so sometimes when I feel like I might be missing out, that's what I remember is like, okay, so I've been to Mount Rushmore. Pretty cool. Right. In the moment, I was like, all right, that's cool. But I didn't really, it wasn't any different than any other day or any opportunity for experience. And I was really young when I went to Mount Rushmore, and a lot of these things we did. And it's like, that's cool. I got to say I went, but the actual being there part was kind of like any other day. So when I start feeling that regret, that's kind of what I think of. It's like, well, I've had my experiences and I know that it's cool, but I'm okay too.
Right. And you were talking and I was like, okay, what is that? So I had to look it up because I've seen it. I recently saw it on a meme and I think Lori might have sent it to me. It's joy of missing out, JOMO. it's when us introverts like have JOMO, like we get excited, we get to miss out on that. but I feel like,
well, it's like when I went to California this last year, you know, I was in Anaheim, mm-hmm. right? I am surrounded, and my hotel was right next to Disneyland, was surrounded by all this stuff. And I was like, I came, I saw, I'm going back to my hotel.
That's so
and
me.
And then it got even worse. I found DoorDash. And I found Instacart. My last 24 hours there was me crocheting in front of the TV in my hotel room.
Oh, I love it.
Because I found out that I could send someone to Walmart for me to get me some yarn and crochet hooks. Oh, and I have my tablet to download patterns.
Uh-huh. Oh, that would so be me.
And I would be poking my eyes out with those said needles and wishing to God that I was anywhere else.
I'm not done. So I get to go do this conference this next month.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm presenting at it, they offered me mileage. It's in a town within an hour of me. Okay, so please keep this in mind. It's an hour away. They offered me mileage in a hotel. I almost took them up on the hotel. And it's an hour from home.
But I get it.
I definitely... And I know we've talked about this before. It's very much the difference between introverts and extroverts. But I had a day to myself today. It was lovely.
I feel like I don't believe you.
I know, right?
Actually, well, I spend my day very different than other people spend their day. You know, I was cleaning and I was,
That's I did my good day.
Right?
That's my happy place.
I enjoy cleaning. It makes me feel good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And where I'm staying, they haven't yet quite fully moved in. And so there are just boxes everywhere and stuff everywhere. So I really spent a lot of time I unpacked a couple of boxes, did some dishes, you know, cleaned up the kitchen. But I went to the pool, took a shower, did some writing, checked in with my writing group, made a few phone calls. It was a quiet day for me where, except for some phone calls and, my writing group, I really didn't have a lot of contact with other people, which is not, and I was fine for that for today. But if I do that again tomorrow, I'll start to go stir crazy, and which is a good thing because tomorrow I'm going to be out volunteering and seeing tons of people and doing, you know, being out and about in Austin, and I'm looking forward to it. So, because wow. Yeah, I love you both, but I could not for more than 24 hours just sit here and yeah, no.
Yeah, we were talking and in our, cause I'm a part of the same writers group. And I think part of my depression kind of just got me to a point where I didn't want to meet that frequently or my social meter was way up high. So another thing added to my day was just too much. So I hadn't been meeting too much with them. And so I checked in with them today and I've been on for the last couple of weeks. And I said something about, I don't plan on leaving the house until Sunday morning for church. And we're recording on a Thursday. So, and later Lori's like, are you okay? Is there everything all right? I was like, I'm perfectly fine. I'm happy as a clam. Like, do you realize I have nowhere to go for the next 2 days? And that's what I'm going to do is stay home.
Every year, I swear I'm going to take a vacation and not tell anybody. I don't even know if I want to tell myself, because every time I take a vacation and anybody knows about it, it's like, oh, well, let's go do this. And we're going to do this. And oh, I'm going to come over and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, watching my days tick away, like, now I'm going back to work.
Yeah. Okay. So I have a question.
Okay.
I want simple answers, because I know that part of it is going to be answered in the next segment, but
yeah.
Have there been things in the last like couple of years that you've missed out on that you really wish you could have been to or done or partaken? Like, has there been an event that you couldn't go to? Has there been a family member that you didn't get to see when they were visiting or nearby? Is there a grandkid that you couldn't really be involved in their life, but you saw or heard about something they did? Anything like that? I can share while you guys are
thinking.
What's
my time frame?
Oh, it's the last couple of years.
Just
because I know Lori, I know you missed out on a lot that first few years after you had your stroke. So since then, you've really done your best to kind of make sure you are at those things. But is there something you missed out on that you wished you could have been a part of?
I actually have been very mindful and very intentional in my attendance of the things that I want to do. So I feel like I've actually been pretty blessed over the last couple of years to pretty much do what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Okay. T, how about you?
So this is the part where I talk about where I was talking about, where sometimes I don't have the fear, but the regret. And for me, that was this within the last few months, someone very special in my life passed away, and he was connected to someone else very, very important in my life that had passed away. And in both instances, I was so wrapped up in my world, and there was a lot of, not animosity feelings towards these people in any way, but a lot of things that were going on in my life that I didn't feel comfortable with. And at certain, I know I'm being vague, but I hadn't spoke to him in a long time. And I know that he was going through some things from losing his wife, which was my aunt. It was my aunt's husband. And my aunt had passed away. She's the one that was so, so important to me. So my uncle, when my aunt passed away, he struggled and he went back to his first wife, who was, I'm going to be, try to be very nice, not a nice lady. It was very stressful for him. And I didn't stay in touch with him after my aunt died. And I think for me, it was regret because wasn't able to see my aunt and didn't connect with her before she died. So then I carried that plus all the things that was going on in my life. I just kind of let it go. I didn't really say much. And then he died suddenly. It was unexpectedly. He was going in for open heart surgery and he didn't make it through. Mm. And so for me, it's like I missed out on an opportunity to spend that time with him, to get, let him know that he's still family. And that, you know, of course I think about him and he can always talk to me. I just kind of like got too busy with my own stuff and let that guilt kind of get in the way. So now I have more. I feel bad that I didn't stay in touch with him and whatnot and make sure he was okay. But I've had the opportunity now to connect with his daughter, who I hadn't known since she was an infant. I used to babysit her. And she's been reaching out to me asking for stories about her dad, because I've known her dad since I was in high school, before he married my aunt. And so I've known him for a very, very long time. which is part of the why this is, it was so important that I, for me to have kept in touch with him, because we had that long standing relationship. And, but I'm getting to not have regrets because I'm, you know, talking to her and I'm reaching out to her and letting her reach out to me. And so, like I said, sharing some great stories and getting to honor him in those stories and to get a, getting to fill in gaps that she didn't know about her dad. And so, yeah. So, just because we miss one opportunity doesn't mean we have to keep missing opportunities.
Yeah. Amen. That's awesome. Yeah. For me, there's a couple, and I think one of them is, after my mom's mom passed away in 2001, my mom and her brother didn't really stay connected. Like, they would communicate once in a while, but like every 6 months on the phone, like they'd call and that would be it. So fast forward to after she passes away, I'm living my new life. My uncle's seeing me online, doing all these things with new friends and getting involved in church. And I, in a way, I regret not having stayed more in contact with him, but I never was really close to him. But I feel like in the last like couple years, he's reached out a little more. I've reached out a little more, and we're actually starting to, I don't know, build something. I don't know what that something is. And then, you know, we all have friends doing things in their lives. And I was really close with somebody and they were getting engaged. And all of a sudden, like, I'm at home after work and I look online and there had been a big party for an engagement party. And I had no idea that was even happening or where it was, wasn't invited. And I was mad, because I missed out on something important, something special that I wanted to be a part of. And, I let people know, like, I was upset. And I even told my friend who, you know, at the time had gotten engaged, I was like, yeah, I feel really bad I wasn't there. And she goes, yeah, why weren't you there? She's like, I know that you work. And I was like, so I told her, I was like, I wasn't invited. I had no idea it happened. She goes, oh my God, I can't believe they didn't invite you, which made it worse for me. But she felt bad then. And I'm like, I don't want you to feel bad because I want you to celebrate that. But I said, I'm really bummed that I didn't get to celebrate with you. So both of those are kind of like things I've had to wrestle with. And even, even now, like, I feel like T, you were talking about getting to talk to your uncle's daughter and sharing things with her that she maybe didn't know about him. And like you said, filling in the gaps. I feel like, especially with my uncle, he's filling in some gaps for me. I'm filling in some gaps for him. And I know he regrets not being around a lot when my mom was sick. So there's a small part of me that just like, okay, is he doing this because he's feeling regretful and mournful that he didn't get to do this for my mom, you know, or be around for my mom. So he's like passing it down to me, or if it's like legitimate. So it's like, I'm trying not to like let Satan get in there. So I'm just taking it for, I get to have time with my uncle, regardless of whatever his heart is for it. And I think those are the important moments to have when you have those conversations. And now my uncle has a granddaughter and she doesn't live that far away. And she lost her mom when she was 10 years old. So I've kind of, it's been both myself and my cousin are only children. But my cousin is like quite a bit older than I am. So there wasn't a huge relationship with him and I growing up. But I feel like his daughter and I could feel like I can have that little like anti relationship with her. So like, I don't know, maybe that'll grow into something. And you know, that's kind of leads into kind of what we wanted to talk about next, about like, how have you coped with that? I know, Laura, you said you didn't really have anything like major that you've missed out on. How have you coped just with and found ways to not miss out on that stuff.
Me in particular?
Yeah. I said your name.
Well, you know, so for me, I feel like this last couple of years has been a huge growing experience. I have been learning and gaining lots of tools to put in my emotional, spiritual, mental toolboxes, if you will. I think, honestly, one of the things I've been most fearful of, I guess, is the things I miss out for myself, because most of my life has been about being a daughter, being a wife, being a mother, being an employee, being a sister. And, you know, I've shared a lot in this podcast about how I really didn't, as a created being, I didn't feel like I really existed until recently. So for me, if I had a fear now, it's that maybe I'm not pushing enough in a different direction, or going to try something different and new, possibly going back to school. What would happen if I moved? What would happen if, you know, I went out and got a job? What would happen if I, you know, did whatever? Something that I'm passionate about, that I want to contribute to and get something from. And so really, by taking this huge trip that I'm on, I've been gone for, what, 3.5 weeks now? I'm like midway through this. I'm midway through this 6 weeks that I've taken for myself. And so what have I done? I actually did it. I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very empowering. It's not like the world here is different. People don't have people are people. There's drama sometimes. There's, you know, things that you there's bad weather. There's, you know, whatever. You run out of money and you can only do so much, you know, whatever it is. But the power has been that I did do something. I did choose to say, I don't want to be fearful. I want to go experience. And that's what I'm doing. So on that positive note, you know, we were joking when we talked about it. Sometimes you got a Geronimo. Sometimes you gotta get the edge of that cliff and just go for it. And I feel like that is a huge part of what I've done by going on this trip. I'm very much getting outside my own comfort zone and putting myself out there and having conversations and gaining experience. Went to a theological conference. My kids are like, Mom, you're such a geek. I'm like, I know. I'm an eternal student. I love education. You know,
I could get out of college fast enough.
Right. I'm volunteering at a huge conference here in Austin called South by Southwest. I get to meet interesting people every day. I get to serve, but I also get to learn. This next, so the first week was all about education. This next week is all about film and music. So I'm going to get to go to concerts and movies and just really get to experience life. And I'm very much enjoying it. So I think the biggest thing I learned since having my stroke, since facing death like I've done, is don't say no. Don't say, I'll put it on the calendar for later. It'll happen eventually. I'm not made of money. I'm staying with friends. It's not like I'm living high on the hog, except I am. For me, I am having a new experience every day, doing different things. So I think the best thing you could do is to Geronimo. Just go do it.
See, on the other hand, I think it's okay to say no. I think the important piece is know yourself.
Yes.
Yes.
You need to know who you are and what you need and what you want.
Yeah.
That's when you don't say no.
Yes.
So let's say, you know, someone says, hey, Tina, do you want to go to Texas? I can say no.
Because for you, it wouldn't be a thing, but for me, it is.
Right, and that's just it. So for me, if I'm offered an opportunity to do something, but I don't feel the need, I don't have the desire, I don't have the want, and I won't have the regret, I can say no. The idea is not to say no to the things that are part of your dreams, you know? When you have a dream, when you have something that you feel pulled towards and you have opportunities to do it, you take it. If yes. you have opportunities to do something that would be really appealing to you, like if someone came to me and said, Tina, do you want a hotel room for the night? I should say yes to that because I know that's something that I could use, right? Sometimes that's what I'm needing. But we also have to be aware of who we are yes. and some acceptance and know that not everything has to be, well, for not ever, not, it's not for everybody to have an exciting life, like go, 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 go. And, you know, bright lights and all this stuff. That's not for everyone that, you know, but maybe what's exciting to you is going down to the river and going fishing, you know,
yeah.
or getting out in the kayak and going kayak. Now, that's one of the things I love to do. I love to go kayaking and I do love to go with friends. And when I hear that my friends are going and I didn't get to go, I would feel like I was being left out because my friends know I like to do that. Right. So, but then if they offer for me to go and then I don't go, why am I not going? Now I might have legitimate reasons.
Right.
Then after a few times of someone inviting me along, and if I'm not accepting that invite on a regular basis, they're going to stop inviting me. Right. Then I really feel left out. Kind of like what you dealt with, EJ, that you didn't even get that invite. So yeah. Of course you felt left out. And for me, I know when that happens for me, that's usually because I've been saying no a lot. And then if I then feeling left out, I can look and say, well, so for example, that does happen to me with my work family. They'll get together and they'll do things. And a lot of times they forget to invite me, not because they don't care about me, but there's a couple reasons. First of all, I don't work in the same office. My building is separate. So first of all, second of all, I'll usually realize if I look back, I've turned them down a lot. And usually for very good reason, you know, my husband's sick, I can't always go, or I've got other obligations and whatnot. So what'll happen is I'll hear about something and I'll show up to it just to let them know that I'm still here.
Right.
So that's one of the things I do is I just kind of stop and go, am I, first of all, I ask, am I really missing out?
Right.
They find out I didn't really miss out. Yeah. There was something. Yeah. Or I missed out being the fly on the wall. But, you know, and then was there anything I did that led up to being to missing out?
Yeah, self-checking is important to know. Yeah, if you legitimately, there are times when people don't invite you for their own reasons. But mm-hmm. yes, there are often very much there are times when you've chosen to not do something. I know me, it's like, and I've told Lori this, I'm like, if they keep asking, I'm gonna go, but I'm not gonna go every time they call. Somebody reached out to me, every other week we have a women's midweek, and often it's hosted here at our place. And somebody would reach out and say, hey, after midweek, do you want to go to karaoke? I love to karaoke. I love to sing. But it was like a night that we didn't normally have that. I was already busy doing something else, and they wanted to go at like 9 or 10 o'clock. And I'm like, that's bedtime. But I was already chatting with another friend and I'd already made other plans. So I said, no. So we made plans for another night. And so we're going to go. And that's just because you can't go at that moment doesn't mean you can't go in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Or say, I can't go now, but let's put it on the calendar for next Tuesday, because yes. I know that we're both available. Like, I'm not saying like one day I'll do it. No, actually put it on the calendar and do it. Unfortunately, this the first day that we picked, you know, my friend was unable to go because she had her own things and she'd had a long work day and just she's dealing with some stuff at work. So we didn't get to go, but we'll, you know, do something either this weekend or, you know, at a future time. And then, you know, with family is just keep reaching out. If you feel like you're missing out on something, reach out. And like mm-hmm. T, like just to let them know you're there.
Mm-hmm.
A
lot of my friends also know that, you know, I've noticed certain friends like don't ask, but they inform like, oh, just so you know, this is coming up.
Right. Yeah. That's a good idea.
It's kind of like wink, wink. I know I'm not going to ask you because you'll just tell me no. Right. Maybe you just know it's happening. I know you'll show up if you can, you know, that kind of, a lot of my friends will do that or and my coworkers will do that. Oh, just so you know.
Yeah. And I really liked what you said about like kayaking and like, if it's something that you like to do, but you choose not to go, then why are you choosing not to go?
I
can't remember what the conversation was, Lori, but we'd had one a few months ago and it was like, but you love doing that. Why don't you want to go? And I'm just not in the mood. And, you know, since then I have talked with my doctor. She's a little concerned about increasing the dosage of my medication, which is fine. She wants to see how it happens through the summer because, you know, fortunately the Pacific Northwest is notorious for seasonal depression or what, there's an official term for it. And we've talked about it before. But you know, it's often there's not a lot of sun, and when there is, you don't get a lot of it. So, you know, your vitamin T stores get really low. So she wants me to see if I build up any, like throughout the spring and summer, and then if by the end of the summer I'm starting to still have some issues with my depression, she might think about increasing my dosage. So, I'm really having to wrestle with that because I'm afraid of what I'm going to be like if I'm not on my medication, but I'm also afraid of what I'm going to be like if I don't have the right dose, you know, like there's that kind of fine line. So I know that like my mental health will play a factor in missing out sometimes. And that's when you really have to know yourself and know, is this really my depression talking? Or is this really like, I'm physically unable to do this because of this, you know, in a few, like a month and a half, we're having a women's weekend up at the place we went to and we stayed with T last time it was happening. Fortunately, I've made commitments to do something that weekend here in town and I'm not going to be able to go. And Lori's going to be recovering from surgery. And so there's all these reasons why we can't go this time. It's not that we don't want to go, and we're encouraging others to go. But unfortunately, you know, we just didn't know it was happening. And, you know, we've made other commitments. That doesn't mean I love the people any less, and I don't not want to spend time with them. That's a big thing for me to say, because a year and a half ago, I probably would not have said that. Just because I've struggled. But now I feel like I've really kind of blossomed a little bit here, more than I thought I was going to. So, you know, there's always that phrase, bloom where you're planted. And I think It just took me a little while to do that. But yeah, knowing yourself, knowing what you like, knowing your hobbies and what you're interested in, and not being afraid to say no when things are not of your interests.
Right. And yeah, because that can overwhelm you. But so what you're, the other thing you indicated is that mental health piece. Know your mental health.
Yeah.
Because kind of like you seeing like, I'm not doing something I normally enjoy. That is a number one indicator of one of the number one indicators of depression. Right. Also, then for me, like with my social anxiety, I know that if I'm telling people no a lot, or making plans and then canceling, even if it's legitimate reasons, but if it's happening a lot, I have to stop and go, is this my social anxiety kicking in? If so, do I feel like I need to do something about it right now? Would trying to do something about it make it worse? Is there someone I can check in with to kind of check to make sure, you know, because social anxiety involves a lot of misunderstandings. Like I'll misunderstand something someone said, and think that it's a, like I'm somehow not doing enough or not good enough or something along those lines. If I find those thoughts popping into my head a lot as I'm not doing, if I'm staying away from people and I'm thinking those things, I know those are cues for me. And so I'll usually reach out to someone who knows me well enough to go to help me check in with that. And so just being aware. And so knowing that if I'm missing out on stuff, especially if I feel like I'm missing out, then I might need to check in to see why.
Yeah.
I think it's important on the extroverted side to be able to say no,
mm-hmm.
When you're overcommitting, when you're committing out of a need for others, or you just don't know how to say no.
Right.
People pleasing and all of the things that go along. I think many years back, you and I had a conversation about how I felt for the longest time that I was carrying all these people, and that if I wasn't doing these things, you know, and then I had to ask myself, well, wait a minute, why, you know, so
people, why do I feel like a hamster in a wheel?
Right. And feeling like a hamster in a wheel is not good either. So I have to check in. Am I saying yes because I want to do it, because it meets a passion or a need or fulfills some family thing that is important to me? Or am I saying yes just because I'm supposed to say yes, or I feel like I have to say yes, or whatever reason I want to put behind it?
Right.
And so we, on the other end of that spectrum, have to go through those same things just for other reasons. Yeah.
And I can totally see, and there's moments I get that too. I go into that space of like, I want to say yes to everything because it's exciting. I want to experience all these things. And so I can understand that from some personal experience. I don't have that as much as you do, Lori, but you definitely have that, you know, wine tasting. Let me have a sip of every bottle. Right. You know, I'll try that. There's exceptions to that rule. And it's usually funny to watch those exceptions, creep up. Like if you're in a yes mode and I'm like, you want to go camping? You want to go fishing?
Try that.
Let's go. Let you put your own worm on your own hook. Yeah, see, you can say no sometimes.
Right.
But it's so funny watching your reactions when suggestions that are outside of your wheelhouse, you're like, who knew? But you're very uncomfortable with that no. You're like a little girl.
I know, because I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I really don't do that.
And what, you know, if I or suggest you could put your own worm on your own hook, they'd be squealing and laughing and shuddering.
You know, I think about 10 years ago, I would have freaked out about it just because I was in that germophobia stuff still.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I would have that problem now. But it has been a very long time since I've gone fishing. I always did enjoy it.
Yeah. And you know, you can fish with marshmallows. So, you know, just don't tell Lori. Because I so will have the camera on as I'm insisting she put the worm on the hook. If I can get her down to the river.
I have ideas.
Want to go camping?
I'll put a gummy worm on there.
Oh, it actually might work in some locations.
Probably. I mean, gummy worms, rainbow trout, you know.
Swedish fish.
Yep. Well, this has been a great episode. I think we've had a good time. Just a friendly reminder that anything discussed in this podcast is not to be used as a diagnosis or replacement for conversations with your own doctors, therapists, psychologists, or other medical professionals. This episode is on YouTube and most major podcast platforms. If you're not a subscriber, we'd love for you to be one. So don't forget to like and click the subscribe button to keep up with our upcoming episodes. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Threads as Behind the Mask PC. You can also email feedback or future episode ideas to behindthemaskpc@gmail.com. To find us, EJ, Lori, and T online, links for us will be in the description box of this episode. And on behalf of the ladies and myself, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye.